Parshas Abichu Kosa is found on the stone Chumash of page 708. This week just to read the Parshas Abichu Kosa. So the Abichu Kosa is mostly dominated by the Tochacha, which we won't talk about so much, but we're going to talk about one aspect of the Tochacha. But let's begin. The first pasuk tells us, in Abichu Kosa Teilechu, you have to go with the mitzvos. If you follow my mitzvos. So Rashi says that b'chukosai teilechu, Rashi says yachu zekiyum ha-mitzos, you have to be mekayim all the mitzos, and Rashi actually ends by saying that this is a reference to shetu ha-melim ba-Torah. We have to work at it. You have to be very involved in the Torah. It's not always easy. Today we live in an age where we want things that are easy. We want things that are simple. Our article in the New York Times a few years ago called "The Tyranny of Inconvenience." That today everything we do is so convenient for us, and there's many advances in technology that have made life easier. Nobody wants to hand wash their laundry and hand wash their dishes. But what he argues in this article is that, I think professor maybe at Columbia, is that what's happening is that because we love convenience, we are losing out on the ability to fight through struggles and obstacles. That when we're met head on with something that we have to struggle with, we are not able to cope with it because we live in a world of convenience. So Rashi says, you are melim ba-Torah. Right? When you go to a Beis Medrash and you see people working hard and learning, it's called a melos. They're putting all that. That's not true in learning Torah. It's true in all mitzvos. A melos means effort, and you gotta put time into the Avodas Hashem. If you don't put time into it, it doesn't have as much meaning. So that's Rashi's the next line. Rashi says, "Amitzos tushmora melim b'Torah." So I'll share with you a beautiful Chassidish idea. In mechukosai teilechu means that I don't know where this was from, but sometimes our mitzos that we do with our hands, sometimes the mitzos we do with our hearts, loving a Jew, loving Hashem. I'll give a whole shir Shavuos line about what it means to actually love God. But some mitzos you have to do with your feet. You have to go to them. If you, right, when you go to a house of Shiva, you go to visit the sick, you go to a Sudas Mitzvah. And that's the idea. Sometimes you have to go to mitzvahs. You know, on Yom Kippur, in the Al Chetz, one of the Al Chetz we say is, Beritzas Raglayim Lahara. I didn't do anything bad, but what happened? I went to do this. So the same way we go to do bad, we can also go to do, to do good. Okay, the Torah continues then by telling us what will happen if we listen. The Torah says, "V'nasati geshmichem be'itam," the rain will come in its right time. Oh, Shavuos, we're going to give a whole shiur on this topic of this idea of how does reward and punishment work? Is it and how do I understand when bad things happen to good people? Is it that it clearly if I do the right thing, what's going to happen? Good things will happen, but what happens in the world? It's not so true. So how does that work? How does that get balanced together? So that's the beginning of this parasha. If you continue, you'll notice that the parasha is mostly dominated. If you look in page 710. Oh, there's a great Hasidic story with the thing. It goes like that: there was a new Rebbe, the Rebbe died, and his son takes over, and the Rebbe was going to all of the every Shiva house and every chesed and every, he was obviously Shiva house Yishuv, but everything he was going to do. So they told him, we'll take care of it for you. You don't have to go to every single thing. We'll help you. So he says that he had a dream, and he says that in his dream he saw his father, and his father had all of these jewels, and what happened was every time he helped someone, he did a chesed, he gave someone money, he gave someone advice. He got a diamond, whatever it was. And his whole kapata is full of these jewels. But he saw his father, his feet were bare. So he says, his father, why are your feet bare? He says, because I waited for everybody to come to me to do all of these things. So the new Rebbe says, that's why I want to make sure that when I get to Shemayim, my feet aren't bare. Okay, so that's this idea. So then you have the Tochacha. The Tochacha begins on the bottom of middle of page 710. V'im lo sishme'uli. If you don't listen to me, all of these things are going to happen. If you're the one to take the time, it's worth reading through the Tochacha. And in the bottom, and there's just the translations, to see that these things have happened. All the things that were promised about the Tochacha, another shiur we're going to do in Shavuos, is how do we know that Jews were right? What are the proofs that we know that we're here and we're right? One of the proofs are fulfilled prophecies. All the things that they said were going to happen, some of which come from Parsha Bechukosai, have happened. All the bad in Bechukosai has happened. And that takes you, now you know that there is this practice among Bali Kriya, that when they get to the Tocha, what do? They read it. Now that happens to be that's not necessarily universally accepted. There was a big debate as to whether or not to do that. Why? On the one hand, people felt, why are you being quiet about it? Say it out loud. Now people hear it. What's going to happen? On the other hand, because it's so haunting that you don't want to proclaim it out loud. So it shouldn't be that the Baal Kore reads it really, really quietly and really, really fast. There's no mitzvah to do that. All thing you gain by that is earlier Kiddush. Because then you're not hearing it. Your point is, you have to hear if it goes too fast. You know, but, okay, so that takes you, that is the Torah. Takes you all the way through. Now, if you look, I'll show you something very interesting. Turn to page 716. So, this pasuk, the top pasuk says, V'socharti, esprisi Yaakov, avesprisi Yitzchak, avesprisi Avraham, eskar, v'aretz eskar. Pasuk membes. I'll remember my treaty with Yaakov, with Yitzchak, and with Avraham. It's a little bit backwards, but for a different time. And then the Torah then goes and says, and here's what happens if the Haaretz Te'azev. Well, is that, so when the Baal Kore in most places will get to that pasuk, what does he do with his voice? He raises it. He's reading the Torah, it's low, 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 sad, sad, sad. He gets his pasuk. He raises it. God will remember us. And then he continues. The Shloha Kadosh of Isaac Levi Horowitz said that's not the practice. Why in the middle of the Torah would there be this pasuk? Randomly, it seems, about the bris that Hashem makes. So the Shloha says it's part of the Tochacham. What's God saying? Oh, the last 40 psukim were, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And you know, it's even worse, because I made all of these deals with your father and your grandfather and great-grandfather. And what happened? Look where you are. Look where you came from, and now look where you are. It's not a pick-me-up. It's devastating. Right? We know that the Gemara says that we lost bris avos. Right? We lost chus avos, I'm sorry. We lost chus avos. We don't have that anymore. We have bris avos. What's the difference? So chus avos, the Rav says, is that I know you, so we have a great relationship. And maybe our kids and your kids, but at some point, our great relationship is going to wash away. That's not going to last. So bris avos means God made a deal, and that deal is always going to last. So at some point, Hashem's saying, This isn't the people that I knew from the beginning. So the Shloha says it's absolutely part of the Tochacha. That gets you into the next parashios. The next parashios are about Erchin. What is Erchicha? What are Erchin? Erchin is a mesechta. It's all about value. When a person wanted to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, you could give your value. Okay? This person is worth this much, right? There's different values how much somebody is worth, and you can donate that amount to the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, as the fancy word in academics is juxtaposition, but my cousin calls it neighbors. Why is the Tochacha neighbors with Erchin? God says, I'm going to wipe you out, not completely, but you'll be decimated, running away. Anti-Semitism is a proof that we're right. We've been chased and chased and chased. And then God says, and if you want to donate your worth, here's how much you're worth. What's the connection? So you have to understand that in the world of what's called Musar. So in the world of Musar, what's Musar? What we think Musar is, what's Musar? Musar, but I won't call it Musar. What's Musar is, working on yourself, bettering yourself. So sometimes when a Shiva boy hears the word Musar, he thinks it's like his Rebbe's about to yell at him. But there are two schools in the world of Musar. Okay? When the Musar movement developed, or Yisrael Salanter begins what's called the Musar movement, to read books about ethics, Mesilas Yesharim, the Darchei Hashem of the Ramchal, things that weren't necessarily learned in yeshivas 300 years ago. Now, every single yeshiva out there today has a Musar Seder. 15, 20 minutes, you learn one of these Sfarim about how to work on yourself, how to better yourself. It used to be that they would learn Gemara and they would refine themselves in that process. The world was not it wasn't producing what it should be producing. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter starts this Musar movement. And now everybody learns Musar. So there are two schools of thought. One school of thought was called Shiflus HaAdam. Okay, was from the altar of Nevardik. Shiflus Adam, what does shiflus mean? It means garbage. It means you're nothing. You're low. Ah, very good. You watch Diesel? You watch Diesel? You've seen it, right? If you haven't seen it, what are you doing with your time? So there is a part in there where she goes, one of the daughters, whatever, goes into the store to ask for something that the store doesn't own, right? And she embarrasses herself. Why did she do that? That's Musar. That was from the altar of Nevardik. The Shiflus Adam taught you that you're nothing. You're nothingness. You're garbage. You're low. You're so low. Why would you even sin? You're nothing. And to the extreme, and this is in the early 1800s, to ingrain that in themselves, they would walk into 7-Eleven and ask for a hammer. Or they would walk into Home Depot and ask for a Slurpee. And then they would get laughed at, and that would lower their self-esteem. And that was not a major camp, but that was a camp of Musar. The camp that we follow mostly, and there are still some remnants of this in different places, not as extreme. And they're both important, by the way, because we know the famous teaching of the Hasidic Rebbes, in one pocket you have that you're great, in the other pocket you have Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. You have to have humility. But the other approach is what's called godless Adam. Man is not low. Man is unbelievable. He's so great. And he's so great. How could you sin? You're so great and close to God. And that was more framed by the altar of Slobodka. So today, that's more of the approach that we take, obviously, that man is so great that God wants you to get close to him. So and it's important. If you go to certain yeshivas in Israel, I'm not talking about a post-high school year or two yeshiva. I'm talking about even the Israeli Haredi yeshivas. If you go into a place like Hebron in Yerushalayim or Slobodka, the Batei Midrashim are pristine. They are clean. They are the Bachrim look good. Okay? They're pressed iron shirts. That's godless Adam. You have to look good. Why is Erchin, that was a long intro, why does Erchin flow after the Tocha? Because after we got beat up, told by God all these bad things, Hashem says, you still have value. Don't think you don't have value. So after the whole Torah, we hear that each person has a significant worth. Okay. That takes us really through the end of Parshas Bechukosai. A little bit about, we have here also about the redemption of animals and of houses of fields. And that takes us all the way to the end of the Parsha. There is, I skipped over, but if you go back to 7:16 for a second, here we talk about. Look at the second pasuk mem gimel. Ve'aretz te'azev mehem. The land, Israel, will that if they sin, what will happen? They'll be gone. V'tiretz es shab soseha, and it will ba'ashmam mehem hirtu asavonam. Right, it will become. It will appease for all the shmitas that they didn't do. It will lay desolate, and because they rebelled against me. And what's fascinating, if you look in history, if you look at Mark Twain, and if you look at other people, when the Jewish people were not in Israel, what did the land of Israel produce? Nothing. It's a desert. When Israel is back, look at Israel today. I just gave a shiur last Shabbat, the Six-Day War. Look at the miracles. When Israel is there today, they're the largest export of water filter systems, and they're producing technology, and all these things, all that startup nation stuff, that's in the parish. It's in Bechukosai. When they're doing what we should do, the land will produce. And when we're not doing what we shouldn't do, the land will not produce. Okay. So I do want to talk a little bit about the Tochacha, because I want to focus, for a little bit of time that we have, on the one pasuk that keeps coming up over and over and over again in the Tochacha, and what exactly that means. So, let's go to page 712. The Torah here says, Pasuk Chav Aleph. Torah says, V'imtelechu imi keri. What does that mean? Well, we're not going to translate it. Well, the art school translates it as casually. Torah says, if you walk with me casually, v'lo so'avu lishmo ali, you don't really listen, v'yosavti aleichem maka, I will add more sins, shevakachatoseichem. seven times around. Skip down two more, two psukim. Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'im be'eda lo sivasiruli. The Torah says, if you don't listen to these, if despite all of this stuff, you don't follow me, falachtu imi keri, and you actually behave with me casually. The word keri comes up again. If you go to the next pasuk, now God says, not only is that bad, it seems, if you want to be that way to me, two can play this game. And I will act towards you, Bikari. And I will add on more sins to you. Go to Pasuk Chav Zayin, three more psukim later. If all the stuff that I've just punished you with, you still don't listen, and you still continue of halachtem imi Bikari, I will as well do this to you. Turn the page. You go to Pasuk Mem, towards the bottom of page 714. Torah says, so the Pasuk tells us that you'll confess your sin and that of your previous generations. The Ma'al Asher Ma'alubi. Mi'ila is betrayal. When you use Beis HaMikdash property for your own use, you betrayed God. And not that, only that, you also holchu imi bekeri. Therefore, says God, af ani elech imam bekeri. If you want to act that way towards me, then I will act that way towards you, and I will go that way bekeri. The question is, what's so bad? What is this keri? Seven times, I believe, that it comes up. So let's look at the sheets that I share with you. I want to give you a few opinions before we get back to Rashi. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So the Aruch Chaim says, Reb Chaim Ibn Attar, that Litzad Shemakos Elu Himakos Hamragishos Umakiros Ashkachas Hashem. That basically, I view the world as random occurrences. Keri can just mean happenstance, right? Makara doesn't mean what casual? It means what happened. Kara means happen. So I look at the world and I say, I don't know. I guess that's what we're going to talk about those on Shavuos about Ashkachas Hashem and when we get different ways that we see the world. How do we see God in the everyday? It's a crazy story that I'm going to share that just happened recently. But the Aruch Chaim says no. So when all these punishments are happening, what does the man say? God's not sending me a message. It happens to me that I got kicked out of Israel and I got punished for this. And not, why is that a problem? Why is that such a flaw? Why is God so angry at that? To me, Mechasar Amunah means you're lacking. What am I lacking? I'm either lacking that I believe God does run the world, which doesn't seem to be the case, or I deny the fact that God is involved, meaning God created the world and he makes it move. Does he really like care what's happening in my life? No. So the fact that something happened or this happened or that happened, all right, whatever it is, God doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't care. Or he cares and I just don't believe in him. So either one of those are bad. Because I'm either denying God's existence in the world or I'm denying God's existence in my life. Also a bad idea. Okay? When we say in Az Yashir, Aminu Bahashem V'Moshe Avdo, we believe that God doesn't just create the world, we believe that God is involved in my life. So that's what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. Rav Hirsch, Kara denotes anything that happens without our intention or beyond our reckoning. Accordingly, it is purely a relative concept. Something in and of itself can be intentional and premeditated, yet we did not intend or plan it. It just happened and came at us by chance. There's a halacha called Hesech Hadas. You have to, when you do a mitzvah, you must focus on that mitzvah. So what happens in certain mitzvahs, if I do them and I don't realize that I'm doing them and I'm in the middle, I might have to go back. If my intention, if my focus wasn't there, it doesn't work. So what's happening, kara, means, so he continues, it should understood according to its plain sense, to go with someone out of agreement with him. In our verse, it says, telchu imi, describes the relationship with God. We no longer disobey God's will, but fulfill what's required according to His will in comparison with the extreme stage of defect. Oh, sorry, go to the next paragraph. Your going with me is only carry. You act in accordance with my will is not your only intention, it's a result of a decision on your part. Your foremost resolve is not to obey me, meaning I'm not rebelling, I just, if it works for me, great. If it doesn't work for me, also great. So while the Aruch Chaim looked at it as an extreme, God is zero, no chance involved in what's happening, either because I deny his existence or deny his involvement in my life. The Aruch Chaim says, no, I have a relationship with God when it works. And when it works for me, that's great. So what does God say back to the Jews? If that's how you want to deal with me, I'll deal with you. Look what he says in the bold verse. God walks with them, but Bekeri, he no longer carries them on eagle's wings over all the forces that oppose them in the natural course of events. The people's existence and prosperity are no longer the object of God's special providence. People are no longer supported by the miraculous power of his blessing and protection. Now again, we never really know, yes or no, if it's working or not working. We're not up there. But the more that we're involved and the more that we care about God, God says, it's very straight in the psukim. You care about me, I'll care about you. And that doesn't mean what we think makes sense has to make sense. That I think, well, if I believe in God more and I daven with a lot of kavana, I should get the raise. But it means if you are going to act with me when it works for you, I'll deal with you. So when you really need me, I won't be around. Okay. So the Rashbam says as well, look at source number 3 at the bottom. Imtelcha ami b'mikre velo tadir. A huge, huge role in Judaism is consistency. Not do I only find God, and it's good to find God, Rosh Hashanah, Ne'ilah, maybe a birth of a child, a graduation. I'm always with God. And Eva and 6:30 davening Wednesday morning in the middle of July. It's consistency. And I sit in the sukkah and sing zmiros, and I also wash randomly when I'm at work on my bread sandwich that I'm eating by myself. That's consistency. It's bringing God into my life. So God, the Torah says, if you want me all the time, then bring me in. And if you don't deal with me all the time, then I'll respond in kind. So turn the page. Let's go to Rashi. Okay, this is Rashi's opinion. What I believe Rashi is getting at is a little bit differently than just happenstance. Rashi says, Rabbeinu Amru Arai. Arai means by chance or at times or occasionally. B'mikre. Shena lo lefrakim, only at times. Kein telchu arai. Now Rashi could have stopped there. Rashi adds, Kein telchu arai b'mitzvos. Now, either that means one of two things. It means I do what works for me. And I do a whole advisory workshop with my 8th grade boys about this exact topic. What do I do? What don't I do? So either it means, arai b'mitzvos, I love Shabbos. There was a kid in my class had comes every day with like a momish, a box of cereal that he just eats throughout the day. So he left in the room and I came back in the room and some of the kids from different class were taking some of it. So I told him, I said, you should just know, this is a big thing. People take each other's snacks. It's funny. I said, I'm just telling you, this is mamish geneva. Like, de oraisa. You are straight up stealing. I'm like, would you ever drive on Shabbos? We would never drive on Shabbos. So what's the difference? That's a rabbi mitzvos. Okay. The things that were, no, for sure I'm never going to drive on Shabbos. And for sure I'm never going to eat pork. But, I don't know, tzitzis, Sorry, Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know. That doesn't work for me. Right? The joke we have in our class is, It's not my minug. Okay? It's not my minug to keep borer. It's just whatever. So that's a rabbi mitzvos. Now, sometimes a rabbi mitzvos happens because we're just not educated enough. We don't know the things. But sometimes we know them and we don't care. Or we're going to see in a second we're apathetic to them. Not that I'm not... Why am I not doing the other ones? Is it because... I don't believe that, I don't know, shotness is one of the 613. No one's going to say that. But there is, Rashi, I believe, is getting at either I just not doing them or I'm apathetic towards them. And that's what I believe Rashi is hinting at. Arai b'mitzvos could mean all mitzvos that I do, I don't know, I choose which ones I do. And I might do all of them at some times, but they're not as important to me on that scale. Or it means arai b'mitzvos, I don't know. I might do all of them, but in my attitude, I'm a rye. I'm a happenstance Jew. Even when I'm doing it, It's just convenient. It's not something that's part of what who I am. And that is this Tochach Chayim B'Chu Kosayim. And if you look in source number 5, the Torah tells us in the second Tochacha a very, very similar idea. The Torah says, what was, and just like our Tochacha has the key source, the pasuk is carry. You can't do that. There's an issue of happenstance. How you look at Hashkachas Hashem? How do you perceive how the world runs? How do you perceive God? God in my life. That's this issue and my attitude. And the next Tochacha has also a pasuk that sums it up. And the Torah says, Tachas Asher Lo Avadata Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'V'Tuv Levav Merov Kol. The Tochacha there says, what is the reason you're getting these punishments? Not because you didn't keep Shabbos, and you didn't sing enough Zmiros, and you didn't help the poor. Those are all bad. But the Tochacha is not getting, it's not a checklist. It's not that you got your test back, and I got this wrong and this right. The Tochacha is an attitude. It's a culture. It's a lifestyle. This Tochacha is how I find God in my life. And the pasuk in Devarim is, the reason we're suffering is because we didn't serve God b'simcha v'tuv lev merov kol. Either it means I had so much good and I didn't appreciate it. Really, had the Torah left this out, somebody would have raised their hand and says, Torah, it's not, you didn't put a pasuk in? If we could have all the Jews keeping the Torah and just not with a simcha, that would be, I thought that would be great. That's not what we want. That's the Rabbeinu Bachya says.
That's Hasidish. That's Hasidish b'simcha.
Yeah, no, but you have to remember that simcha is two aspects. There is an attitude of simcha that is happiness, but simcha also has to come from our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, simcha can't. It's mutually exclusive. Meaning, I can't just daven shachris excitedly, and then not daven mincha. Do you understand? Right? They're together. Right, Chassidus teaches us about being happy and excited in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what Chassidus brought to the world. Absolutely. That's what the Baal Shem Tov and all those Talmidim, what they wanted to inject into the world was this attitude of Simcha. But like I've argued that over the time, this idea of like Neo Chassid, it's built into what we do. We should want to be all Chassidim in how we run about our lives. And that's what the Rabbeinu Bachya says. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, it's an attitude. Look at the second line. Chayav Adam ala Simcha b'hisasko mitzvos. When I worship God, it's not, that's the point. When, it's not that I'm not doing certain mitzvos. According to the Tochacha, I could fill 613 mitzvos. I could be a Kohen, live in Israel, and be the, you know, and offer carb, I'll go all of them. And I could do all of them, and all of the Rabbanans. I keep 72 mitzvos after Shabbos. I wait six hours plus after milk and meat.
72
mitzvos after Shabbos. That's the Rabbeinu time. 72 minutes. But all of what I do is not done b'simcha. And it doesn't mean that when I do it, I'm smiling. It means my attitude in my relationship with God. Today, we suffer, as Rav Lichtenstein tells us in the next source, we suffer today. The sin that we suffer from today is apathy. It's apathy. Not that I'm rebelling against tzitzis. I don't care. It's not like that. Whatever, I'll do it or I won't do it. So listen to what Rav Lichtenstein says. He talks about the Al-Chait. We might sing out a particular Al-Chait, the litany of many sins that we recite. It relates to the particular situation. Al-Chait shechatana lefanecha bivli da'as. The sin we've been before, but without knowledge. The Vidui contains two kinds of confessions. Those of which themselves are sins, those which are not inherently sins. So what does it mean bivli da'as? Bivli da'as, he says, could mean that I didn't know. I didn't know that I was not allowed to, how to separate the salad that I want to take on Shabbos. That's bivli da'as. I didn't know that how to light the menorah properly. Okay? But listen to what he says. Second paragraph. Some have understood bivli das as itself being a sin. A mindlessness and it is a failing in as much we do not fully realize its selam elokim within us to the extent that one accepts that it's knowledge. Meaning, what are we suffering from? It's apathy. How do you fix apathy? So you don't fix apathy with more happiness. You don't fix apathy in tefillah with more shuckling and more kavana, and it's good. It's absolutely good. But the core of apathy is a relationship with God. The reason that we have apathy is because we don't fully appreciate the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we did, it would change everything. It would change our tefillah. It would change our learning. It would change our attitude. And this is not to say we don't have good tefillah and good attitudes with mitzvos. But clearly the Tochacha in Bichu Kosai and in Kisavo are talking about an attitude. Not necessarily a sin that we're not doing, but an attitude towards mitzvos. So turn the page. This we've shared many, many times. It is just worthy. You can have it or you can read it. But, and you know, you've been to any shir over the course of history, you've heard it. I'm not even going to read it for you. But it's important to note that the Rav talks about this in a number of places, but that the idea of a relationship with God is the most important thing. Now, you can't just have a relationship with God. You can't, as I said, they go together. You can't say, my relationship with God is so amazing and I believe in Him, He's in my life, and then I don't care about mitzvos. We're all working to be better Jews. But you need both. How do I become a better Jew? God says, I want you to follow halacha. I want you to be involved. Halacha is bringing God into my everyday life. So the Rav says that he learned these, that God has hand over his shoulder. So if you turn the page, I'll share with you from another piece in the Rav that is not as famous. Listen to this. Page 4. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's worth reading another piece about what the Rav says he learned from his mother, but I'm going to share with you this piece. The Rav gave a speech in 1976 in the italics. My religious worldview is formed not only through learning Torah, but also my religious experience. I continually refer to the two traditions of the Torah, learning halacha and that of religious life. Enthusiasm, love of Hashem, and yearning for Hashem. The first, says the Rav, is a 10-part. I can give long lectures on tshuva, shofar, avoda, great depth and thoroughness. Yet, what is easy for me to explain regarding the first is difficult for me regarding the second. To recount what the Jews of earlier generations, not only Gedol Yisrael, but Jews, experienced in the Yom HaNorayim, the yearning, the nostalgia that overtook one's entire being, to impart that emotion is almost impossible. It's worth, by the way, you can go online and you can watch the Rav give this 10 minutes. He gave it mostly in Yiddish. It's subtitled into English. It's unbelievable. For somebody like myself, who views himself as a Talmud of the Rav, because my Rebbeim were Talmudim of the Rav, to be able to learn from the Rav himself, is besides his articles and his Torah lectures, is amazing. He says, as a child, I remember how infectious that emotion was. It's also worth noting that the Rav was a brisker, right? The Rav was learning, and chakira, and yet here he is opening up that as great as that is, you need the emotion. You need that energy. I felt the same yearning as everyone else without really understanding what exactly I was yearning for. These emotions, which overtook me as a child, stimulate me still today. My whole Weltanschauung, my religious philosophy, is a result of this experience. Contemporary Orthodoxy is well-grounded intellectually. In spite of this, its followers lack passion and enthusiasm. This deficiency is especially evident in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's a shul in Baltimore. It's called Beth Tefillah. So Beth Tefillah, or the rabbis, are by Mitchell Wahlberg. He's been there for a very, very long time. And Beth Tefillah is not necessarily, it's efficient Orthodox shul. But when I was growing up, and even as today, many people drove, and it's not in the you know, what when I grew up was different. Now it's a little changed, but it was not an Orthodox neighborhood at all. And a few years ago, he got up in a shul, and he gave a speech. And he talked about, I want to tell you what I learned from the Haredim. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're firing tomorrow. And he talked about the protest about Shabbos in Yerushalayim. And he says, obviously, what they were doing was wrong. But he says, what Haredim have, he says, what we as centrist Orthodox need to work on is our passion, is our excitement, and our energy for mitzvos. And not just for the mitzvos that I want to do, but for all my relationship with God. Yeah. I shouldn't be obviously throwing a rock, but I should be upset when Torah isn't being followed. And that's what the Rav says, that emotion, that passion, that relationship, that is something that Rav Lichtenstein, the Rav of Centrist Orthodoxy, the last 30 years, who passed away a few years ago, says we're missing out on it. Where is it? So we might have, and this is, by the way, true in the centrist world, in the Haredi world, in the left-wing world, it's true everywhere. We have today shtibles and minyanim factories and kolels, and you can get a shiur on any, but we're still lacking something. Rosh Weinberger tells a story that he had. He gave a speech on this once. He gave a shiur about a relationship with God. So and so a guy comes over to him later next week and says that I asked my son. My son is learning the top yeshivas for many years. I asked him, "Do you ever think about God when you're learning Torah?" So his son says, "No." He says, and nobody does. And Rav Weinberger said, "That's a problem." Meaning, we learn a lot of Torah, but we're missing out. If the relationship we have with God, if we understood it, how impactful it was, it would change everything. It would change the way we did it. We went about our daily life. I'll skip this piece from Rabbi Lamb. We're running out of time. We look. Just turn to the last page for a second. Running out of time. Roy Lamb, many, many years ago, I believe this was over 50 years ago, also says at the top, "I submit to you, my friends, that here is a problem which often afflicts us, observant traditional Orthodox Jews. We prefer not to discuss or think about that our commitment is too shallow." Rabbi Lamb, besides his, for me, Rabbi Lamb, besides his, contributions in the world of academics, in the world of academic, Jewish religious literature, his lumdus, Rabbi Lamb is a master darshan. A darshan is someone who was able to take anything and make it into a fabulous speech and presentation. But a darshan is also someone who's able to understand what is happening, the flaws that have to get worked on, address them directly, and not sugarcoat things. Rabbi Lamb was a master darshan. Shul rabbis today don't talk the way Rabbi Lamb talked 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. He says, "Our commitment is too shallow, our sense of concern is too superficial, our feeling of involvement is too narrow." Right? So he says, take for instance the problem of kashrus. People who really care, really are concerned, will check the kashrus of their food as seriously and as solemnly as they check their business credentials of the companies whose stocks they want to buy. Right? So that, I mean, there's a much larger piece of this. But that's Rabbi Lamb 50 years ago. That's our issue. And today, it's gotten better in some ways because there's so much access to Torah. But on the other hand, because there's so much access, we're learning, we're doing, but we're not emotionally involved as much. And that's where Moshe Feinstein says. Where Moshe writes, we did this like the 2 weeks ago as well in Parshas Emor, but Rav Moshe here says that it's the same idea. When we choose how to go about our mitzvah, the Torah says, "V'bacharta b'chayim." When you choose life, you should live. So Rav Moshe says, it's not just about what I do. It's how I do it. It's the emotion that I carry with me. It's when I'm davening, how am I davening? Do I understand why I'm davening? Do I appreciate my davening? What do I tell my kids about going to shul? It's an attitude. It's apathy. As we approach Shavuos, this is a major, major, major issue. Kabbalah Satorah is not only in the mitzvos that I do, it has to be the mitzvos, but it's also my attitude in those mitzvos. If I just have attitude and no mitzvos, it's no good. If I just have mitzvos and no attitude, it's also not good. But attitude is changed by understanding there's a relationship that I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll share with you the final piece. If you look at this Pasuk in Amos, Pasuk tells us, that it'll be the times do Hashem Elokim v'shlachdi rav baretz. There'll be a famine lo rav lechem lo tzama lamayim. It won't be for bread or water. Kim l'shmo as divrei Hashem. Right now, it's a song. Right, the song comes from Amos. So what does it mean? So Rav Moshe David Valili, who was a student of the Ramchal, says it does not mean there's going to be there's not a real famine, obviously. But what do you mean? It's going to be a thirst for God. Today, you could buy any. You could go today to catch. I when we were in Israel, so today, like, I don't get a chance to go to farm stores as much. Either because if I need something, I'll just look it up and buy it. But I miss going to farm stores. So I snuck away for like 10 minutes and I went to this farm store, Meir Shalom. Like, it was the greatest thing. I mean, like, there's so much out there. You can get a safer on anything you want. It's unbelievable. The access to Torah today, YU Torah has 190,000 shiurim to listen to on any topic, and that should be utilized. But so he says, it doesn't mean, I mean, today we have a famine, l'shmo as divrei Hashem. There's no famine, l'shmo as divrei Hashem. He says, yes, you'll have sfarim and everything, but it's Divrei Hashem that we're missing. It's the Word of God in our lives that we're thirsting for. And that's as something we should think about as we approach Shavuos. Not only where is my acceptance in terms of my level of mitzvah practice and where I could improve, but do I realize the gift that I have? Do I appreciate the relationship that I have? How do I go about it? Constant working in my level of observance does mean that I have a relationship with God. Because God cares about us and we care about God, I wanna keep giving to God. So that's Noam Hashem, and that's the Tocha. Tochu imi keri is Arai. Either Arai, I don't think God's in this world, problem one. Or God's in this world, but I'll just do it when it's convenient for me, problem two. Or God's in this world and I'm doing the mitzvos, but I'm just not putting my I don't realize the relationship that I have that goes behind those mitzvos. So that should be our goal as we approach Shavuos, should be with that level of commitment that we aspire to. I have a wonderful Yom Tov. There will not be a shir next week.